So, gentlemen, try praising your wife even if it does frighten her at first. Okay, that's what Billy Sunday said. That wasn't me. A grandmother was telling her granddaughter goodnight when the little girl said, "Mommy and Daddy are entertaining some very important people downstairs." "You're right," Grandma agreed, "but how did you know?" "Just listen," the little granddaughter said. "Mommy is laughing at all Daddy's jokes." Most of them were Pastor Mike jokes, but, in the scriptures, as we look at in Exodus chapter 12, it's quite clear one of the commandments that we are to honor our what? Fathers and our mothers, right? In the Lord, because then you're going to have what? What happens when you honor them? Long life, right? The people that didn't honor aren't here today. Just think about it for a minute. Just let that ruminate, all right? You're here, and we've got to continue this, because if there's one thing that's being torn apart in America, it's honoring those that are in authority. They're ripping it to shreds in America and around the world, because this isn't just America. But in the house of God, we're going to honor those that the scripture teaches us to honor. Amen? And I am so thankful that I get to be here with my mom at 81 years old. She's still here with us. And then my children and my grandchildren with my bride. I just look at when you walk according to the word of God, then your fruit starts to multiply and everything in your life starts to change. Amen? Everything in our life changes when we obey the word of God. I don't know about you, but my life was going a little bit sideways at one time, and then Jesus Christ came and set me free, and everything started to change in my life. And it was a process, and it still is a process for each and every one of us. And so, as it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so, ladies, this morning, you know, as we talk about Mother's Day, it's obviously for each and every one, whether you're a mother, whether you're not a mother, and even, you know, fathers and brothers and sisters, everybody's included in this, amen? Honoring your father and your mother, because then you're going to have a long life in the land that God has promised you, and he's allowed us to be born here, not by our choice. So in my personal opinion, we live in the greatest country on the planet right now. With all of our failures, with all of our weaknesses, with all of our faults, it's still the greatest place that I've ever been in order to live and to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. I've been in, I don't know, over 20 countries, and nothing can, Hawaii is not another country, okay? Just, well, we got some, you know, public school kids in here, so I have to qualify some things, but because they don't teach that anymore, geography, right? But been in over 20 countries, and none have I seen or have I been a part of that have created what we have here. And we know that it was based on the premise of the Word of God in this nation, even with our strengths and our weaknesses. But thank God for His Word that changes each one of us every day. Ladies, we thank God for you. We love you. We appreciate you very much. Proverbs 31, and my wife said, "I hate Proverbs 31. Because I never, you used to. When she was younger, she said, it's always something that's almost impossible to live up to. It's almost like perfection in paper. But the Word of God, you know, each and every aspect of it, it teaches us, shows us, guides us, leads us, and it always causes us to aspire to something more than what we've already enjoyed and what we've already walked out. And in Proverbs 31 and verse 26, it says, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." And right now in America, we need you women with the wisdom of God. She opens her mouth with wisdom. When the word of God comes out, wisdom comes out. Amen? everything that's going on around the world in this country, and this is a season that we're in right now, and I believe it's a season towards the very end of all seasons. I don't know what you believe, but I believe that we're getting to a place where he's preparing his bride quickly, very quickly. And so and life is going to change as we know it. We've already noticed some changes, but I believe there's bigger changes coming. And it's all in line with the Word of God. Because the Word of God says in the end times, there'll be what? There'll be wars and rumors of wars, right? Earthquakes. And then I believe that one of the things that will happen next will be famine. They're working on that now. As we can see, if you watch any kind of news, if you actually pay attention, we're watching these things happen before our very eyes. And so in the midst of this season that we're living in, where life is changing, listen, we've got to remember that we're in this world, but what? We're not of it. If you've got your clutches onto this world and the things of this world, you're going to be sorely disappointed as we go forward and God prepares us for him. We're not being prepared for retirement. We're being prepared for him. Amen? His bride without spot or wrinkle. And if there's a time and a season where we need our ladies, where she opens her mouth in wisdom and teaching of kindness is on her tongue, when the rest of the world is trying to tear itself apart, and those that are in authority are trying to make sure that things are being torn apart, we need the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God represented on the earth to proclaim the wisdom of God and then teaching in kindness. Amen? The other scripture I want to look at is Proverbs 10:31, and it says, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. And so just those two, she opens her mouth in wisdom and teaching and kindness is on her tongue, and the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. If we'll walk in that, everything around us will look different by the end of the day. If we'll walk in it, we'll see transformation, not only in our own hearts and in our minds and our lives when we walk out the wisdom of God and we speak the wisdom of God, but also we'll see the transformation of those that are around us. You know, it's a day and an hour for all the women to realize that the Lord has spoken and called each of you to lead. It's always amazing how, you know, when God called us to procreate, it just showed how crazy God is, didn't he? He showed how insane he is. I mean, he's out there. He gave you children. He gave us children to raise, knowing all of our flaws, all of our weaknesses, all the mistakes that we would make, and yet he gave us the most priceless commodity ever created, a baby, who would need mothering all the way up to smothering, and then eventually on to growing up and stepping out in the wisdom that moms and dads have taught. You know, it's a day when the world needs women of God. They need the wisdom of God flowing out of the women of God. The world's trying to take away the dignity, the beauty, and the majesty of motherhood that God has created. So many are bad-mouthing a mother for staying home with their children. The highest, man, trying to think of the word, calling on the planet. Taking care of what God created in darkness when no man could see. And yet the world screams, you're less than if you don't go out and get a job. How sad. God said, this is what I want you to be able to do to enjoy. And yet the world says, you shouldn't enjoy that at all. You should enjoy making money, making a name for yourself, and becoming a name on the earth for a very short time, instead of finding great joy in what God has called us to do. But the world's trying to take away the dignity of motherhood. They're trying to destroy it. Everything that God has designed, orchestrated, and ordained, the world is trying to rip apart. But thank God, not here. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. Amen. We're not falling for that nonsense. We find great joy, as you saw this morning, all of those babies up here. Can we say congratulations to the parents that said, I'm going to bring my children in the house of God. They're going to know what worship is. They're going to know what the Word of God is. Thank God. Listen, I remember what it's like getting three of them out of bed and getting them dressed and getting to church on time. And we were 26 miles away. You know, and I told you before, my wife said, you know, I'd be sitting in the car all by myself. She was getting all three of them ready. Because I was a genius when I first got married. And I'd sit there in the car and blow the horn. Let's go! We can't be late! And that was, I didn't want to be late for being an hour early, because I always wanted to be an hour early, and we couldn't be late any later than an hour early, otherwise we were late. What's that? And that was her life. And then she said, well, it might go a little bit better if you help. That one slipped my mind for some reason. So the next Sunday, I said, all right, we'll take care of this. I'll help. I said, but you got to iron the clothes the night before, because when I was in the military, I ironed my clothes, put them on, and the sergeant came out, and he said, Halstead, you look like a bag of rags. Get out of here. Go get a different uniform. I can't even stand looking at you. So I let this Chinese guy that we were in the military with, I left him, let him talk on the phone for an extra 10 minutes every night to his wife, and he ironed my clothes. God always makes a way, doesn't he? So my wife ironed the clothes and got everything ready, and the next morning I got the kids out of bed. I said, but you got to do Chelsea's hair, because that's out of my league too. She won't look too good coming to church if I got to do it. Got the boys up, got them fed, we got everybody dressed, and all four of us are sitting in the car. And she still ain't ready. And I'm still blowing the horn with all four of us in the car. Because now there's no excuse, baby. I did my job. And eventually we worked it out, but it took some time. It took a little striving on both ends. But you know, and when we're walking together, the Bible says, how can any walk together unless they agree? How can any two walk together unless they agree? You know, and we agreed that we're going to walk. We're going to come to the house of God. We're going to raise our children in the house of God. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to put the Word of God first and foremost in our lives. And you know, I know there's all kinds of emotions this morning, which there always is on Mother's Day. Listen, if you didn't have a great relationship with your mom, I don't know what yours was like. I don't know how your mom treated you. Maybe your mom passed away. My brother-in-law lost his mom when he was 9. And so we understand there's all kinds of emotions that run through. If you didn't have a great relationship with your mother, what I want you to do is encourage you to do is press in and grab a hold of all the promises of God. And then you be the example to that next generation. All right? Let's not carry on that. Let's get off and get away from what didn't happen and didn't go right in my life. Because everybody in here, something didn't go right in our lives. Amen? And then we're going to have to get to a place where that next generation won't receive what I walked through. They won't be the recipients of my insecurities, my fears, my hurts, my pains, or the abuse, whatever it is. But it only comes through laying down our lives and walking according to the Word of God. Can we all agree? See, that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for those that have overcome. They're looking for those that went through a rough time, a horrible season in their lives and said, wait a minute, but my God delivered me. My God made a way. My God healed me. My God set me free. The blood of Christ was enough. And now I walk in freedom from everything that happened. And so we understand the pain and we're not making light of that. Please hear my heart. We're not. Some didn't have children on purpose because of maybe their health, and they didn't want to perpetuate that health down to the next. Some never had children just because they didn't want them. And we understand all the different dichotomies or quadcotomy. I don't know if that's even a word, but different ways that people look at Mother's Day and children. And you know, if you've never had children, or if you can't, one thing that I would encourage you to do is they say that there's an estimated 153 million children that are orphaned worldwide. 100? There's only 330 million people in all of America. So half of America, there's that many orphans running around the world needing someone. So whether you're watching on the TV or whether you're here, if there's something that maybe didn't happen the way that you planned it, can I encourage you? There's more that God has for you. But it might look a little bit different. It might look just a little bit different than what you thought. But I can speak from experience that whatever baby comes into your house, God gives you an insatiable love for. And eventually they're yours, and you'll never stop loving them. And you'll take a bullet for them, and everything that we do we'll lay down so that they are successful. So I want to encourage you. Maybe there's something that didn't go your way. This is a time to say, okay, it's time now to let go and then step into that next channel, that next chapter, that next purpose of God. And they each need the love of a mother and a father. Amen? I remember when Landon and Gavin came into our house. I wasn't planning on this. Gavin was 2, Landon was 4. And I remember at first that I held back because I was afraid that they would leave. It's supposed to be Mother's Day. It's supposed to be encouraging and uplifting, and you girls are beautiful. And but I remember how scared I was. Because I would, jeepers. I was afraid I would pour my heart into it. Then they would leave. Thanks, love. And then my wife said, honey, she's funny like this. She said, honey, what about them? And I thought, what a coward. What a stinking coward that you would withhold something from them. And then everything changed. And I said, all right, I'm in no matter the pain. No matter what happens, I'm all in. And you know, I think marriage is the same way. No matter the pain, and there's pain that comes with marriage. Amen? Yep. The people that didn't say amen have no idea. They've never been married. You know they're under the age of 17, and they were very quiet. But I want you to know, we've said it before, that love is one of the most ferocious things on the planet. And so for you mothers, we're so thankful. Mom, I'm so thankful for your ferocious love for each one of us. Because I know what you went through. And I'm grateful that you stood. And the only way that my mom made it was standing on the Word of God. It wasn't all roses in that household. But my mom stood. She said, my kids won't know the insecurities and the fears of not having one or the other, because she grew up without her dad. He left when she was 12. And so we see the differences of what happens when the Word of God comes in, that even in a tough situation, God gives us strength. Amen? And I pray for strength for every one of you ladies, because I've seen your husbands. And I'm going to pray a lot for you girls. But getting back to the Word of God, I'm sorry. I wasn't planning on going that direction, but I want you to know it takes a lot of heart and a lot of courage and a lot of love and a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a whole lot of dying if we're going to walk out God's Word and watch somebody else's life be transformed by the power of His love. Proverbs 31:26, again, she opens her mouth in wisdom. Wisdom is the quality or state of being wise. Wisdom is having knowledge of what is true. Ladies, I want to encourage you to get into the Word of God like you never have before. Don't turn off the television and everything else that takes your attention from you. Grab a hold of the Word of God, because if you're going to be known as a woman of virtue, a woman of wisdom that walks on the earth, you're going to have to say what the Word of God says, because there's no higher truth on this planet. Amen? And the world is looking for women that are so courageous that they don't care what it costs. Because sometimes your children won't agree with the Word of God. And every parent said, amen. Whew. We thought them babies came out and it was going to be, oh, this is a piece of cake. I got this. And then we said, my kids will never do what the rest of them kids in town are doing. And we was wrong. Wisdom is having knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with the ability to make a just judgment and perform a just action. So it's not just knowing, because there's a whole world out there that has all the information at their fingertips. Amen? They know what the wisdom is, but they don't have the ability. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that comes into each one of our lives and gives us the strength and the ability to walk out His truth. Can we all agree on that one? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my God never lies and He never changes, right? And His word said that my children will walk with Him, right? And therefore, I'm standing on that, I'm agreeing on that, but I'm living my life like they're walking now, each one walking out the full call. All my grandchildren too. Not getting distracted by what anybody else does, I'm just simply agreeing with what God said, and I'm walking out the walk that He's called me to walk. I'm not getting distracted by what I see. Good Lord, we all get distracted. We know wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And you know, there's different types of wisdom. I was just reading up on creation wisdom. And if we look at Psalms 136 and verse 5, it says, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. That wisdom was a little bit higher than ours. Amen? It was his wisdom. That's that creation wisdom. That's that wisdom that we don't possess. We're not privy to. We're not going to grab a hold of. Although there are some out there that think that they can refashion the world in their own image any way they want it. But it's simply the wisdom of man, and it's futile against the wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:19, it says, the Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. So his wisdom is a little higher than ours, amen? Because until you can speak and light comes, or you can speak and shut off the sun, his wisdom is always going to be higher than yours. Therefore, we're going to have to come under the authority of that word. And ladies, I believe that's what God's desire is for today, is that we go back to that understanding of that wisdom, that creation wisdom. In creation, he said, you'll have the ability to have children. What an amazing God that allowed that, created that, and then out of nothing, God takes something and gives us something so beautiful, so precious, so incredible that it takes our breath away. Right, we were talking yesterday when Nick was born, right, your first child, that baby comes out. I was there for the whole thing, and that baby comes out, and it's like, oh my goodness, how can I love anyone or anything more than this? When you hold that baby, the baby comes home. When it starts to sleep, it's easier, but you love that baby. But you didn't think you could love it anything any more than that. And then Chelsea came out and was like, oh my goodness. I love her so, with all my... How is this possible? How can I love these two? And Andrew and Michael came and was like, my goodness. They're all so different. But yet, God just kept expanding our hearts. Then Landon, then Gavin, and it just keeps growing and growing. And that's the wisdom of God. Man can't do that. That's how God designed each one of us. And you ladies, I got to be honest. Nick came home, and that first night I put my ear down next to his face about 2 a.m. I'm climbing over top of my wife because I can't tell if he's breathing. I'm petrified. I'm climbing over top. She said, what are you doing? I'm not sure if he's breathing. He's fine. I can't tell. And I got my ear down next to her. She said, I'm trying to go to sleep. I only get 2 hours. I said, I'm sorry. It won't happen again. It didn't. After the third night, I never heard him cry. I never heard her get out of bed and feed him, nothing. I just slept through the night. I was like, oh, I feel good, baby. How'd you sleep? She's like, sleep? Who? You're going? Can I? I had no idea. Because my wife's an amazing woman. And she did. And she took those babies and held them close and sacrificed her sleep, her nights, and everything else. And she kept on praying over each one of them from before they were even born. And I want to encourage you, your babies get things in the womb when you lay hands on them and pray for them. She said to the first one, yep, I want him to have blue eyes. He did. Yep. She named a couple other things that I won't say from up here. But couple other things that she wanted, and it happened. Chelsea was in her belly, and she said, yeah, I want this one to have blue eyes, too. She did. Jerome and Michael came along. She said, no, I want this one to have brown eyes like me. He did. She's a spoiled brat. God gives her the things that she asks for. But how many know you can ask for things, and your God gives you the desires of your hearts? James 3:14, it says, but if you have bitterness and jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. So we have creation wisdom, and now we have wisdom that comes down from above. And you know that wisdom that comes down from above, it's that it's the wisdom that we walk in. It's a private wisdom. Can I tell you, I get more wisdom when I'm all by myself with God than any other time. And that's what God wants. Ladies, you need to press into what your time with the Lord, because he's going to give you things, not only about your marriage, because he needs a lot of help, trust me, but you're also going to get things about your children, your grandchildren, and all of those that God brings in spiritually, because we can't limit this to just naturally born children. We've got to give this to spiritually born children, those that come into the house of God. Every one of them babies downstairs, they're yours. And you're called to love them the way that God loved you. How easy is it when they come up here and them little girls was dancing, had their little jerseys on, they got their names on the back of the jerseys, they look so cute. For now. But then maybe when you're walking out the door and one of them cuts you off and you almost fall. Maybe I remember when we were renting here, this was a Baptist church, and some of the older people that were in the church. And there was a boy that used to get a little bit out of control. And so him and Nick were on the steps outside there. And that little boy had a stick about 4 feet long. And he was waving it around, you know, and swinging it at the little kids. And so just as this one older lady went to leave the church, my son tried to take that stick from that boy and swatted that woman. There was a message on the church phone when I came in. I don't come to church to get hit by them kids. You don't keep them kids under control at that church. They hit me with a stick. And next time I'll be calling the cops on you, preacher. I love my children. These are things that happen. So when they make a mistake, is that how we treat them? Or do we go back with the wisdom of God, and to train them and to teach them? But that wisdom of God, it's to separate, it's to protect. It's a place of protection, wisdom is. It's a place of refuge. Because when things don't go right, I need to go get wisdom from the Father on how to love my wife the way that Christ loved the church. We need to both go before the Father and get wisdom when we were raising children, because we didn't have all the answers and we still don't. We're in this the second time around. We got the 3 older ones, the 2 younger ones, and guess what? We still need the wisdom of God, because we're still making mistakes at times. We don't do it all right, but with him, all things become possible, because even in the midst of things, when we're wrong, God turns it around, and he does something beautiful. God turns it around, and he makes something beautiful in spite of us. Isn't that incredible? It's also, it's like a protected, wisdom is a protected garden. It's a place that you ladies go, and God starts to open up his words before you. It's a quiet place, silent and still, but a place of security. It's an inner room that God opens up for each and every one of us. It's called the wisdom of God. He said, in all of your getting, get understanding. Understanding says, in all of your getting, get wisdom. Because it's the chief thing. It's better. It's more precious than silver or gold. So many arguments could be stopped if we would just go back and get wisdom before we open up our mouths. Wisdom, in the Hebrew, it means to cover an opening. It means to allow, to atone. Atonement, it means to wipe away. And when they use wisdom, there that this wisdom comes down from above, it means like water coming down, like a rain, a stream of rain that makes the desert bloom. So I don't know what's going on inside of each heart in here, but I want you to know that when we grab a hold of the wisdom of God, all of a sudden our hearts are able to love again. When the wisdom of God comes in and we start to agree with the promises of God that He's spoken over each one of our lives, that wisdom comes, and then all of a sudden it's like that watered garden and everything starts to open up again. There becomes a greater freedom to be able to share who you are with those that are around you. Because everyone here knows that when we get frustrated, when we get angry, we start to clam up. We start to close ourselves off. We start to draw away from what's going on. Nobody understands the pain that you've done to me, you've committed to me. But I want you to know when the wisdom comes, it'll remind you of what the Word of God has said, that by His stripes you have been healed. Amen? That He is the one that restores you unto Himself. And that no matter what's happened to you and it seems like you're at a dead end, He said, I'll make a way. I'll make a way through. For so many, I remember listening to a guy by the name of Larry Stockstill down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was pastoring and he said he remembers getting the phone call that his son went to jail. And here he was a pastor of, I don't know, 3,000 or 5,000 member church at the time. Son was young and just decided to do things his way. It's funny how they do that at times. The same thing that you did it your way. And he says, I remember getting that phone call. Me and my wife, we sat and chatted, and if I remember the story correctly, he said, we'll get him in the morning. There's wisdom in that. Because when they make mistakes, there's wisdom in allowing them to walk through their mistakes rather than ripping them out of their mistake and smothering them again or causing them not to have to walk through the consequences of mistakes. Amen? So we've got to have some wisdom. And he said it was the best thing that he ever did. It didn't all go right when his son got out of jail. There were still more issues that they had to deal with. And we're going to have to deal with issues. But he said when him and his wife were in agreement, it was an easy decision. And they had to allow their son, even in the midst of the humility, the mocking, the laughing, what everybody around town was about to say. The wonderful thing about God is whatever anybody else has to say, it doesn't compare to His final word over your children's lives. Nobody has the final word but our King. And that's where wisdom comes in. It becomes that covering. You know, in the Hebrew, the word for wisdom, there's four of them. And one is chet, and it informs us that wisdom is pictured as something that comes from a private sanctuary or a hidden place. God opened up the throne room, and He allowed us to step in and to take of the wisdom to walk out our lives. He said, if you want to be strong, you're going to have to stay in My Word. He said, look at, if you want to win, you're going to have to run according to the rules. He said, once you put your hand to the plow, He said, you're not supposed to be looking back. Because every time you look back, you get distracted. Every time you look back, you look at what you've done wrong or somebody else has done wrong. He wanted us to look at what He was doing, what He spoke, and walk in that. He said, I want you to walk in this wisdom and this understanding, and it's going to overshadow you. It's going to keep you. When everything looks like it's going sideways, He said, if you'll walk in My wisdom, everything is going to start to change. Everything in your life, I'm going to make a way. Another word is kaf, K-A-F, and it informs us that wisdom can either be covered or withheld, or it can be uncovered or released. And as we look at the news and everything else, we can see where wisdom is being covered up. Across the board, I don't care which station you watch, wisdom is being covered up. We're being lied to constantly in the news. They're hiding wisdom from us. They don't ever speak about it. It's a whole bunch of opinion pieces on people trying to tell you which way you should think. Here's how we should think. Think on these things, the scripture says. Amen? Don't get caught up in all of the foolishness. This is something that can be uncovered or it can be concealed. And the governments around the world right now, they're walking to try to conceal the truth, conceal wisdom. They don't. Our job is unity. Listen, we're walking together and we're going to walk in unity together in the name of Jesus Christ. We're all different. Tell your neighbor, say, you look different. Tell your other neighbor, say, you look strange. See, even though people look strange and different, we know that the foundation is Christ and Him crucified. Amen? So no matter how different we are, we all come under the Word of God, under the authority of God, into the wisdom of God, and then the wisdom starts to open up our understanding. It's something that's revealed in each one of our lives. You moms, you start to reveal it at a young age. I remember my wife praying for the kids. They were 3, 4, 5 months old, whatever. And she would hold them in their midnight hours and pray over them continuously, speak the word of God over them. Wisdom being revealed, even at a young age when they couldn't comprehend. But I want you to know, it's still going in there. It's still going in there constantly. Well, our job as the body of Christ is to reveal wisdom to a lost and dying world. That's what God said. Tell them, I'm the way, the truth, and I'm the only way to the Father. He said, you tell them the truth. And yet how many Christians hold back and refuse to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ week after week because they're afraid that your wisdom won't be accepted in this world. It might not be at the moment, but I guarantee the wisdom that you share from the Word of God will change someone else's life. Because His word never returns void. Amen? Another word is mem, M-E-M, and it informs us that the wisdom that comes from above is meant to bring life. Just like when those babies are born and life comes into the world, our words of wisdom need to bring life. It's so easy to destroy, isn't it? It's so easy to rip people to pieces. That's what they want out there. That's what all these organizations are trying to do. Hey, if we come and scream and yell at you, we'll silence you. Hey, if you don't think and act and do what we tell you to do, we'll destroy you, we'll cancel you. But we know one thing's for sure. You can't cancel me. Jesus done set me free. Nobody's canceling me. They might not want to hear me, but they ain't going to cancel me. Because if they say, look it, now you're preaching the word of God, and now it's against the law like it is in Canada, marriage between one man and one woman, now they get upset, they throw a pastor in prison or in the jail up there, and they put him in solitary confinement, left him there, one hour a day he gets to come out. And the whole church gathered around the prison, started praying. And after about the third week, one Saturday, they prayed all day Saturday for the release of the pastor and for the pastor himself while he's in there. Sunday morning, he got up and they let him out for an hour. And everybody in that wing came and said, what is going on with you? We've cried all night long and I don't cry. But the power of God being made manifest. See, it's not about what happens to us. It's what we do in the midst of what happens. It's not about what we go through. You're going to go through some times by the time Jesus comes back or you enter into eternity with Him. You're going to go through some junk. But wisdom, we got to get in those places when Paul and Silas, when they were in prison together and they're hanging there and they start worshiping and raising their hallelujah unto the King of glory. They weren't worried about what was going on or why they were there for preaching the word of God, but they lifted up their voices unto their God and they started to release wisdom. What about when they were in prison and they were worshiping and the jailer, and then the jail shook, all the doors were open. They could have gone and done anything they wanted, but they stayed right there. They stayed in a bad situation. And wisdom came and the jailer was getting ready to take his life. They said, no, I don't want to take your life. Relax. And then he said, what do I have to do to be saved? He said, don't worry, you and who else? Your whole family. One man stood there, was getting ready to kill himself because he knew he was going to die if they found out that they thought that he had released all the prisoners. And yet in the midst of it, God set him free. How glorious a king we have. Our job is to take that wisdom and open it up to the whole world. Our job is to take the words of life, not the words of death. Listen, jump out of those conversations when everybody is condemning everyone else and trying to rip everybody to pieces. Shut them down. Listen, you've already heard everything about me anyway. Told you pretty much my whole life. All right? But whenever there's people just talking about death, destruction, and ripping people apart, say, hang on a second, I know them. They go to church with me. Let's go to their house and let's see what they have to say. They won't invite you to those sessions anymore. You'll be eliminated, but that's okay. Because you're going to walk in the wisdom and the understanding of God. And one more is TAV, T-A-V, and it informs us that the wisdom that comes from above and it brings life will be assigned to other nations and people and groups. So when we walk out the wisdom of God, when we walk in that freedom and that starts to open up, whatever group you're in, you start to proclaim Jesus Christ, that whole group is going to change. You ladies walk in the wisdom of God over your children start to change. You walk in that wisdom in your home, regardless of how crazy your home might be. Maybe your husband's not even saved. Maybe you're a single mom. Whatever is going on, I want you to know it's time to allow the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God to flood your understanding, that the word of God would fill your heart and the mind, so that as you start to open up the words of wisdom in your house, everything in your house starts to change. I want you to know it's changed for many, many people. Everyone who believed, things start to change. Doesn't matter how young or how old. Yeah, but you don't know him. I don't need to. I know the one who created him. How is wisdom attained? The wisdom in view of this particular Hebrew word is obtained by hearing, understanding, and following the precepts of Yahweh. How do we get the understanding that changes the world, changes your marriage, changes your children's lives, rips them out of the darkness and translates them into his marvelous light? It's the wisdom from the word of God. Because he said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And then she also teaches kindness. And the Hebrew word for kind is also the word for good. She teaches goodness. And that kindness, it's pronounced in the Hebrew, kesed, which literally means covenant loyalty. So she has the wisdom of God. She proclaims the wisdom of God in every situation. And then she reminds everybody in that situation of the covenant reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the kindness. The world wants to shut the truth out. They don't want the word of God being preached. But God's word says, I want you to work in the wisdom that you get from my word. And then what happens is I want you to be kind to them and remind them of the covenant reality of what I have done at Calvary. Because the only way that we get set free is reminding ourselves of the covenant that we're in. And it's a blood covenant, right? We taught on covenant several months back. How they used to split the animal in the Old Testament right down the middle, and the blood was there. They would separate a little bit, and each person would walk in a figure eight through it. And as they did that, the first person would take his coat and wrap him around the one he's making a covenant with, symbolizing everything I am, you are. And that's what God does for us. Everything he is, we are. As he is, so are we, the scripture says. all power and authority. He wrapped us up in his love. And now he's opened up the wisdom and said, this is how you walk in freedom. This is how you break every curse over your home in your mind. This is how you renew it so you don't feel like a failure any longer. This is how you train your children. This is how you walk out your life. Here's the wisdom. Open it up. I've written it down for you, and I'm pouring it out. Would you come and take what I have? Would you come and read the words that I've written so that wisdom will be in your mouth, so that you will be a place that's a great place of shelter? You watch a baby. When they get hurt, what do? They run to mama. I remember one time, a little bit vividly, I can't remember which kid, but I just remember the moment that one of them fell down and started crying, and I was like, come here, baby, it'll be all right. Boom, right past me to my wife. Yeah, next time you fall, if your mother ain't here, you're on your own, Jack. Now, obviously, we held them each time, but man, I remember it stung. I was like, come here, buddy, I got you. Huh. Now I got a problem with her, because they love her more than they love me, apparently. Now maybe I'm the only one that ever had thoughts like that. But I looked, I was like, are you kidding me? That's just wrong. And they just wanted her every time they got hurt. And every time she said the same stuff over them in the name of Jesus. She would pray for them to be healed. She would tell them about the love of God. She would remind them of the truth every single time. I want you to know, when you speak wisdom, you receive the benefits of wisdom. And everything in our lives start to change. Amen? So ladies, remember, you're here today. Gentlemen, you're here today too. We saw you come in. Didn't matter today though. You're just servants today. That's all you do. I was my wife's servant yesterday. She wanted to get in to do bees. So me and Gavin, we built a beehive. And then yesterday, she was at wedding showers. So we went and put all the bees in the beehive. Yeah, I had my helpers. I had Landon and Larry Walker with me. Once we opened up them bees, all of a sudden the phone started going farther and farther away from the bees as I stood there. I had the suit on and stuff, but I wouldn't wear it the next time. But I just wanted to do something that I knew she would be blessed by. She wanted to do it. She said, oh no, I'll put them out there. I'll take care of all of that. But she was too busy hanging out at baby showers and eating, giving gifts away, while me and Gavin were slaving away. So gentlemen, we're glad you're here today, and we pray that you just keep slaving away today and honor them. It pays off in silver dollars, because she still loves me after 34 years. My mom, she still loves me too. She has to. She brought me into this world and she told me she could take me out when I was younger, so she has to love me all the way to the end. So the rest of you mothers, we honor you today. We're so thankful for you. We're grateful. One thing we want to do, where's Ted? Ted, come here. I know it's Mother's Day. I know it's a guy. Okay, I'm sorry. Ted. Good choice of equipment. All right. Is this like a paid advertisement? Are they paying you today? No? All right. So for those of you who don't know Ted, Ted's been working tirelessly with the food pantry. And he's been there all the time. One time he took off for a couple of weeks, right, because he was mad at Lisa, but everybody gets mad at Lisa. So everybody gets mad at her one time or another that works with her, right? So, but then Ted came back, and he came back because he knew that we loved him, right, Ted? And he knows that God loves him, but he's moving down to be closer to his son down in Tennessee. Yep, so he's leaving us on Mother's Day. Shame, Ted, just shame. Shame leaving today, Ted. Just kidding. But we're just going to pray and release Ted to go down there. because what a wonderful man of God. He's been coming on Wednesday nights, and we're just so thankful for him. Amen. Look at that. No, you have to look at him, Ted. You have to look from there all the way across. Come on, Ted. Attaboy. See, that's what love looks like, Ted. That's what love looks like. Don't ever doubt that you're loved. Don't ever doubt it. Stay in his word and keep building what God's called you to build. Get plugged into a church. I know you're looking for one because there's a lot of people down there that you're going to serve. Amen? Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you for Ted. We thank you for this great man. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done already and the work that you're still performing inside of him. We speak health, wholeness, deliverance, and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that as he puts his hands to that plow and he doesn't turn back, Lord, that he walks free indeed. When he walks out of here, oh God, nothing attached, nothing controlling his mind, his will, his emotions, his heart free, knowing that he's loved by you and loved by us. And so, Father, when he walks no longer according to the cares of this world, but he walks in wisdom, the understanding, and the power of his God who lives on the inside of him. We bless you today, oh God, and we thank you for our friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you. Ah. Love you, Ted. Stand up this morning, would you? I love sending the body out to different places. When we sent Pastor Paul and that team out over to Athens, I remember being nervous. A lot of leaders we sent out. But I believe that there's some other men of God in this room that are supposed to be pastoring churches. And if you feel like that call is on your life, you need to come and see us. And we need to start working a little bit more dutifully, if you will, on the call of God in your life to go and build the kingdom of God. Not necessarily here. We don't want to just keep staying here for the next 50 years. I don't want to have to bury everybody in this room, all right? Because I'm in good shape and I'm in good health and I'll be burying most of you probably. But just saying, that's my confession. I'm sticking to it. But this morning, if there's a mother next to you, just put your hand on her. Come on. Come on, find one next to you. Don't be bashful. It's the body of Christ. It's the family of God. Come on. Stretch out your hands and just lay them on somebody as we close in prayer. Father, I thank you for each and every mom in this place. Lord, that as your word says, Lord, that we read in the very beginning, that she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Father, we pray that every mom in here, Lord, that they would come to know you in such an intimate way. That late in the evening when they rock those babies, Father, they would just sit and meditate and proclaim their gratefulness to the King of Glory. And Lord, for maybe those that haven't been able to, that they would look around and you would place one on their heart that's supposed to be theirs from the very beginning. And Lord, that as they walk with kindness, reminding each one of the covenant working God. The one who said, if you receive me, I'll wash away your sins. If you'll walk with me, I'll cleanse you. I'll heal you. I'll deliver you. I'll make you whole. I will make you a pillar in your community. I will take everything that you did wrong and I'll throw it as far as the east is from the west. I'll make you something you never believed you could ever be. Father, today, I thank you for the covenant that's never broken by you. You're the one that made a covenant with each one of us when we surrendered our lives. And we just speak to each woman in here, strength in the name of Jesus, wisdom in the name of Jesus, joy in the name of Jesus, great peace wherever they walk. Father, when everything is, when there's calamity happening all around, I pray for words of wisdom that when they walk in, every young girl, every young boy just starts to settle down. And they come and they say, please, I just need another hug from you. I just need to hear your voice again. Because when you speak the words of God, my life is changed. Father, I pray that every woman in here, Lord, that they would not be in a box of what someone else said. Whether they're married or whether they're single, whether they're a widow, whatever the issue is, Lord, that each one would look to you knowing that you saved them and set them free. And they truly are free indeed. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word, the word from another world that we place before our eyes that strengthens us, heals us, delivers us. Thank you, Father, for the wives, the women that you have placed in this congregation. We thank you for the strength that they bring. We thank you for the understanding in different situations that they bring. We thank you for that mama's heart that they bring. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them today. That when they walk out of here, they know that they're loved. When they walk out of here, they understand the power that they possess to change other people's lives. Lord, when they walk out of here, they know that your hand is upon them and your hedge is around them. When they walk out of here, Lord, they know that the calling that you have placed upon them is greater. It's greater than what the world has to say. Let their hands be filled with mercy and grace. Let their tongues be the one of the learned in wisdom. Let their feet run towards righteousness. And let each one of us walk in obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.